This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. The founder of the private security firm Blackwater was allegedly involved in a secret meeting with a confidant to Russian President Vladimir Putin. The purpose? To set up a back-channel line of communications between Moscow and Donald Trump. The meeting between Eric Prince and the Russian emissary reportedly took place days before Trump's inauguration as president, and that is according to a new report in the Washington Post. Blackwater, you will remember, provided mercenaries for the U.S. war in Iraq. The company was established right here in North Carolina, and that company came under intense criticism after Blackwater employees killed 17 Iraqi civilians in 2007. Four Blackwater guards were convicted of murder and manslaughter in those killings. Here to bring us up to date and remind us a little bit about Blackwater is WNC military reporter Jay Price. Welcome back, Jay.
Thanks, Frank. Glad to be here.
Let's talk about this latest news in the Washington Post that Eric Prince may have played some part in setting up a meeting with a Russian emissary somewhere, perhaps the Seychelles.
Sure. As you said, it's allegations for now. Let me preface it by saying that, you know, a spokesman for Prince said it didn't happen. Sean Spicer said the White House was unaware of such meetings. But the story is extremely detailed, meticulously reported, and I know at least one of the reporters involved, and he doesn't get stuff like this wrong. So, you know, after the election, but before Trump took office, General Flynn and Jared Kushner met with Russian ambassador to the U.S. in New York. Then there was another meeting. The Post said that Flynn, Kushner, and Trump senior advisor Steve Bannon met with the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi, Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan. He goes by the acronym MBZ, thankfully. And that meeting took place in New York, and the Sheikh flew in against kind of international protocol without notifying the White House he was coming in. But there he was. And now what's alleged is that after that meeting, Eric Prince, who has ties to Bannon and apparently was in Trump's suite for the celebration on the night Trump won the election, approached Zayed and said that he wanted the prince to broker a meeting with a Russian official so that he could establish a back channel of communication with the Putin government on behalf of Trump. Zayed agreed, and eventually Prince flew to the Seychelles. This was in January. These remote islands off of East Africa that are kind of a playground for wealthy Arabs and Russians. And there were apparently 2 days of meetings with a Russian close to Putin and the Emirati officials. This was brokered by the same Crown Prince, of course, and his brother, who is the national security advisor for the Emirates, according to the Post. And the Post said Prince made it clear that he represented the Trump government. These sorts of meetings, I guess the Emirati and Russian officials eventually decided not to have further meetings like this because the scrutiny on Trump's Russia connections was just getting too intense at that point.
All right, so there we go. So they're meeting in the Seychelles, United Arab Emirates, instrumental in setting this up. UAE may be the place where Eric Prince lives, although we're not quite sure. We're going to get into his story in a moment. The only other connection he has to the administration at the moment is that his sister is the Secretary of Education.
Yes, yes. His sister, Betsy DeVos, and the DeVos name is pretty well known. It is the Amway family, founded the Amway Corporation and billionaires too. Prince family were billionaires. Their father, Edgar Prince, founded an auto parts company. He invented the lighted vanity mirror, among other things, but very successful company. And when he died, they sold the company for more than $1 billion. And, you know, so what we've got here in some ways is what you are starting to see a lot more. This family's part of an increasingly familiar small group of billionaires like the Kochs and the Mercers who've been using their wealth to reshape American politics, in particular pushing free market ideas, but also their own notions about foreign policy, security, and other things. The Prince and DeVos families have pumped hundreds of thousands of dollars into efforts to fight same-sex marriage, for example. And the Prince family was among kind of the early backers of some of the religious right.
And these are families that want to work off the grid in secret. They're not democracies. They don't work like a democracy. And so you can see Trump working behind the scenes. Again, the White House denying this well-reported story with a number of sources from various points around the globe. But the administration says we're not going to acknowledge that this even happened. So it's all off out of our radar and out of our sight. What could they have been trying to negotiate? And here the Post seems to, again, work through sources to talk about what conversations they might have had.
Well, apparently what they wanted was to drive a wedge between the Russians and the Iranian government, longtime allies, staunch allies. And, you know, it's kind of puzzling, apparently, to national security experts. It's like, why would Russia even think about doing this? And what were they thinking when they tried to propose something like that? But, you know, clearly, whatever it was, it didn't go very far.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about Eric Prince and Blackwater, a company founded in – it has since changed names. He has since sold the company. But we know it as Blackwater when it made the headlines in 2007.
Yeah, let's back up a little bit. Eric is in his late 30s. As we said, he's a brother of the Secretary of Education now. And he was a Navy SEAL. He was a trigger puller. He wasn't a high kind of, you know, upper leader in his SEAL teams. He was a lieutenant. And when he left the SEALs, one of the things he did was he founded a very, very large training and shooting range up in the far northeastern corner of North Carolina. In Moyock, just on our side of the Virginia border up there. And they have about 6,000 acres. They need a lot of acreage because they shoot big guns there. They have one range, I think, that's 1,200 yards long. And, you know, at the time, this is before 9/11, and the thinking was that they would use it for training, overflow training for the Navy SEALs out of their East Coast base, which is up in Little Creek, Virginia. And some of the other kind of law enforcement agencies, SWAT teams and so forth. I was on the base one or on the training grounds once and saw the Virginia Beach SWAT team working at the same time that on the next range some SEAL teams were practicing marksmanship. And, you know, that was kind of the original vision for it. But then 9/11 happened, and to his credit, he saw an opening here, and they got contracts, started getting larger and larger contracts to do private security contracts, you know, essentially be guards, kind of high-end guards for State Department, the acting ambassador to Iraq for us, and, you know, a lot of CIA contracts. The company to date, I think, has done about $2 billion worth, including several hundred million dollars worth of CIA contracts.
And, of course, part of the problem was as their role escalated in Iraq and more of that war was privatized through the Bush administration, the lack of accountability was one of the complaints that we heard even from the military because of these guys whose accountability to the military was always in a gray area, right?
Yeah. I mean, accountability is you know, what was accountability? They showed up and there was very little legal accountability if they did something wrong, and they did several things wrong, some of it pretty serious stuff. You know, a lot of people think that one of the mistakes they made with kind of their training and who they'd hired and how they approached their job early in the war probably added months or even years to the war in Iraq, the main part of our effort there, when they made some errors in Fallujah and four of their contractors were killed, mutilated, burned. A couple of them were strung up from a bridge in a pretty famous incident. And that kicked off. That was kind of a catalyst for a Shia uprising that really had the whole country on lockdown for quite a while. And the Marines had to eventually go into Fallujah, not once, but when they were ordered out again, they had to go in a second time for some of the toughest fighting that the Marines did in that war. They lost a lot of guys. And, you know, a lot of people put that at his feet. So there was very little accountability in the sense of the legal side of it if they did something wrong. One of their workers in the green zone, the more or less safe green zone where the government was housed in Iraq, got intoxicated one Christmas Eve and shot one of the – there were two Iraqi vice presidents at the time – shot one of the guards of one of the vice presidents. Killed him. He was obviously fired, but they spirited him out of the country before anything could happen.
Most infamously, and an event for which they were finally prosecuted, 17 Iraqi civilians killed, four Blackwater guards convicted.
20 Iraqi civilians wounded, I believe was the count. They were out on a State Department convoy and said that they were shot at as they were going through a traffic circle in the wrong direction. This is kind of how they were wont to do it for various reasons. Said they were shot at and just opened fire on civilians. And, you know, that was the body count.
Right. And finally, there was a trial, criminal trial. And as I say, four of those guards were convicted of either manslaughter or murder. But again, here you have Eric Prince's name surfacing again. Somebody is famous for lack of accountability and for getting the United States in trouble in Iraq and now associated again with the president's Russian troubles.
Yeah, I mean, and it fits this narrative that seems to be emerging with all these billionaires in key positions of the Trump administration. There seems to be somehow there's an equating of wealth, whether it was earned or inherited, with competence, not just in your own area of expertise, but in pretty much everything. And Eric Prince has no training in diplomacy. He has an economics degree, an undergraduate degree in economics from a college I've seen ranked as the most conservative in the country. You know, he's a big free market guy. He has a lot of expertise in training people to wreak violence and to prevent violence. He doesn't have much training in dealing with Russian diplomats.
Jay Price, WNC military reporter. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Jay.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
Just ahead, Jessamine Stanley talks about her journey with yoga and self-acceptance. All of that happens on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.